This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good day to you. Today is Wednesday, January 4th, 2012, at least in North America. And I am your host, Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year. It is our first show of the new year. I'm excited.
Yes, and we're going to start it off with a bang. Oh, I kill me sometimes. Tonight we're going to be talking about...
Oh, you couldn't resist. You couldn't resist.
Doomsday 2012, reality or myth is our topic tonight. And to get into it, Metaphysical Universe is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science as part of our regular educational program. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as metaphysics, explore the science and spirituality of it as well. So we welcome all those who are listening to the live broadcast as well as those listening to the archive. Nice to have you here. And if you'd like to be part of it, if you're on the live broadcast, you can certainly ask questions in the chat room. If you'd like to call in, you can certainly do that too. The number is 714-459-3973 there on your screen. And, of course, Reverend John Hightower will be screening your calls. So, okay, let's get to tonight's topic, 2012. Doomsday? No. We really appreciate you coming and listening to our program tonight. That's all we have to say about it.
You know, we're going to have fun with this. You know, Doug, I think that you and I have talked about this so much that we're either out-talked or we're going to do such a good job tonight of presenting, you know, all these sides and aspects and views of this that we're, I don't know, we should be stars. So, you know, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say this off the top. Anybody who's listening, please listen to me. Anytime I have been doing readings for a long time, and even in this past week or two with my clients, I see a future. I see a future beyond December 21st. I do not believe the world will come to an end.
Well, and that's good enough for me. Let's talk about something else.
Hey, look, it is a hot topic. And I tell you what, I think it is important to talk about is to dispel some fears, because fear is a killer. And I think this is what we're seeing a lot of right now, Doug, is a lot of people fearful. And I, for one, I don't like that. It breaks my heart, to be honest, to see people live in fear. I think, you know, there's so many fears going around as it is. You know, everybody goes through their day with some kind of, you know, stress or fear or anxiety. And holy crow, to think about the world coming to an end, you know, geez, the fallout's enormous. You know, the least of which you and I have talked about what happens to children. And, you know, the site that, you know, you came on to, 2012hoax.org, you know, and they're actually quoting about young kids contemplating suicide, thinking that, well, if it's going to end anyway, then why bother? And the anxiety of doomsdayers. I don't know. I think fear can be its own addiction. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big part of tonight's show. So we're going to talk about some various aspects of 2012. I'm going to tell you right up front, we're going to encourage a grounded and objective view of 2012. We're going to talk a little bit about the past doomsday predictions a little bit, just to compare. We're going to talk about current stuff, as Vicki said. You know, but to begin with, it's the whole fear-mongering part of 2012 that just kills me. And this is something that it's like humanity is never satisfied unless we have something to fear, to dread. And of course, 2012 being a hot topic, just like 2000 was, you know, Y2K, it's the end of the century, it's the end of the millennium, oh my God, what's going to happen? I mean, there were a ton of them, a ton of predictions, but it's the fear. There's, you know, everybody just wants a day for the world to end, and I don't get that. I think it's a psychosis, it's a pathology, and the fear involved is something that we have to avoid, resist. You know, fear, drama, crises, they sell TV shows, they sell books, And that's what a lot of this is all about. And as Vicki just mentioned on this website that I'm going to put in the chat room, and do me a favor, I'm going to put the link in the chat room, but you can go there, but you know, listen to what we've got to say. There's a lot of information on the site, and I'm giving it to you because I want it to be a resource for you to look up later. We'll talk about a few things. But on this website, 2012hoax.org, on the main page, and there's a couple of comments. One, I am a teacher and my third graders are hearing about this. That is 2012. A small child is talking about how if it's ending and why she shouldn't just end it now. This isn't anywhere close to funny anymore, unquote.
This is scary business.
Yeah.
Scary business.
And here's another one. You know, I quote, I have a 7-year-old that happened to see a documentary on the History Channel that scared him so bad that he became depressed and began to question the meaning of life. He is 7 years old. This nonsense is scaring our children. It must stop immediately. I found this website and tried the best I can to explain to him it was all a hoax, unquote. Kids, this is an important thing, folks. If you don't allow your kids to watch certain TV shows, then don't allow them to watch this crap that is being broadcast on some of these channels. Now, look, I've watched them, and if I didn't know better, some of them would scare the pants off of me, too. One of my the series I've been watching lately is Decoded, Brad Meltzer's Decoded, and I really like that show. You know, and they had some interesting stuff. Then it came to 2012, and I'm thinking, oh, good. You know, they're going to really show how ludicrous this whole 2012 thing is. And, oh, my God, it was the scariest one of all. And there are a number one, Countdown to Armageddon, 2012, you know, Nostradamus. They go on and on and on. Don't let your young children watch this crap because it's scary to them. They don't have the emotional development to understand it in perspective. I mean, use discretion with these things. They're not just documentaries. They're fear mongers. And you cannot promote fear. It's one of the big things that I've preached about for a long time. Don't promote fear.
You know, I think that this is a really good indicator of how we make poor choices. We are in a change. You and I are going to talk about this very shortly, Doug, but yes, life is changing. Life as we know is changing. We're all facing the same things that we always have, but life is changing. Now, with the change, you have a choice of which way you want to approach this. Do you want to be fearful and filled with anxiety, or do you want to embrace it and be optimistic, hopeful, proactive, responsible, accountable, and excited? Which way do you want to go?
Yeah.
I'm opting for the latter myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about this time. I don't think that there's ever been a time on the planet that could be more exciting. Well, you know, I suppose Columbus thought he had a big rush too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very exciting time. And to keep in perspective that we talked about this last week and the week before, the power of thought. Which approach are you going to take? What thoughts are you going to project? How are you going to work your own mind and the energy in your life? It's that simple. Because if there is, let's say we're, you and I are the dumb ones, Doug, and let's say there is like this end of the world, well, we're it's over and we don't care anyway. So
yeah.
Up until that precise moment, I'm just going to be a happy girl.
All right, so let's talk about some other predictions, end of the world predictions. Now, bear in mind, these are all from 2000, Y2K, into the millennium. There's a whole mixture of religious and other types of things among the religious.
I'll have you know I stayed up past midnight for that one.
Didn't we all? Just say I told you so. You know, so some of the religious predictions for 2000 now, the second coming of Christ, War of Armageddon,
Antichrist.
The arrival of Earth of the Antichrist, the tribulation, the rapture, horrendous natural disasters are some of those. There's some others here that include solar flares, the a great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in front of Taurus, and blah, blah, blah. We're all going to die if we live long enough. And, you know, it goes on and on. I'm just looking at some of these. A lot of them are religious in nature, of course, because that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. There's a lot of groups predicting the end of the world, and always have been. In fact, if you just do a simple search for end of the world, you'll find a lot of predictions. Here's one, 242 dates for the end of the world, and it starts out in the year 44, and it goes on and on and on and on and on, and 2012 is down toward the end of the list. And of course, if we don't all die this year, don't worry, we've got 2016, 2034, 2047, and four or five others that just say soon. So if you need the world to end, don't worry. It may not end this year, but it will end soon. So, you know, this is nothing new, folks. You know, this whole doomsday scenario, doomsday prophets are nothing new. They have been around since the beginning of time. They're nothing new. So what's up with 2012? Where'd that all come from? Well, as you probably know, it's due to the Mayan calendar. The what they call the long count ends on December 21st, winter solstice of the year 2012. And it's so funny how this has been blown out of proportion, because it, to me, it's like this. Okay, go back in time, all right? The year, go back to January. Let's go back a year ago. January of 2011, January 1st, beginning of the year. We go through the year, we get to December 31st. Now, think back a few days ago. What happened after December 31st was over with? Well, the calendar repeats. We ratchet one more year, and the calendar repeats. Same thing with the Mayan calendar. You know, it starts over again, just like any calendar does. Of course, there's a lot of talk about it being, there's so many things. You know, the winter solstice, the galactic alignment, alignment with the deep, dark rift. And since I brought up the galactic alignment, you know, people say, well, that's what the Mayans were trying to coincide with, is this galactic alignment. And that's what's going to mean, you know, spell disaster for everything. The galactic alignment is simply when the sun lines up with the center of the galaxy. Now, this galactic alignment, and there are various ways of looking at that. There's also the galactic equator and some things that are just not within my knowledge. But this galactic alignment is when the sun lines up with the center of the galaxy, also called the dark rift. And the interesting thing about it, they all point to 2012, the winter solstice, December 21st, 2012. That's when it's going to align. Well, that's true, but the fact of the matter is this alignment is part of the precession of the equinoxes, that little wobble on the Earth that occurs, you know, that comes back around, cycles every 26,000 years. This galactic alignment actually started in 1980. 1980, and it's going to end in 2016. So it's not just a one-night thing. The midpoint was 1998. So if you really wanted to be aligned, that already happened back in 1998. 2012 is just part of that whole thing. It's much like an eclipse. Think about this. If you've ever seen either a lunar or solar eclipse, you notice how it starts out very little, just a little dimple, and then, you know, let's say it's a solar eclipse, the Earth's shadow, the Earth's shadow just starts to move across the sun, and now it's a half eclipse, then three quarters, then a full eclipse, and then it starts going off the other direction. Well, that's kind of what this galactic alignment is. It starts and it takes, 36 years to fully go because of this precession of the equinoxes. So the point is that the galactic alignment, no, it's not real. It's real, but it has nothing to do with 2012 per se. So that's the galactic alignment. There's so many different things. How about Nibiru, Planet X, You've heard of that, haven't you, Vicki?
Yeah. You know, I guess here's the thing. I think a lot of it is culminating in people's psyches. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to keep in mind that whatever people are studying, reading, I don't care if it's science, philosophy, whatever angle you want, it's all open to the translation. Is the Bible not a good example of that, how people translate things differently? Now, if you're looking at, you know, some kind of galactic alignment, you are going to tend to see things, because of your preconceived notions, you're going to see things that may or may not line up on or around December 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where we have to be very careful about interpretation and the hype and the fear that goes behind any kind of a theory, because that's all they are, is theories. So this is what I worry about. I wonder who's saying that. I want to know where they got that idea.
Yeah.
And how they're translating that. So this is what I think we have to be careful of. Look, I think just for our listeners and people in the chat who are talking, there is no question that we would go through a natural progression of change. You know, the Earth doesn't just kind of rotate. It's like a spinning top, and it does wobble. And there's no question that it has to correct itself. And every, you know, it has its cycles of every 13, 26,000 years that it has to correct that wobble. So we are in a natural kind of progressive change, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that in and of itself is by itself. Now, we do have this other consideration of what humankind is doing to the Earth. You know, and there's no question that does contribute, and seemingly in what we've, you know, is proven to us in a negative way. So there are some things that as a species we have to learn to do better. And this is where I see fear can actually be a good teacher. That we can say, okay, well, wait a minute, instead of getting all scared and freaked out, what can we do that would indeed be, what behaviors can we stop that might be more positive in our changes and our thinking, and begin to correct some of our own behaviors? So, you know, there's that element. Now, I think we have to also consider that in the last 50 years, you know, Doug, you and I have talked, life is no different in our stresses and our worries in our everyday life than it was, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. What we do have is a compounding of energy. Yes, there was satellite debris 30, 40, 50 years ago, but we have too much satellite debris. So what could we do right now? It's like clean it up. So yes, there is this compounding that does create an intensity. We have 7 billion people on the planet, half of whom are under the age of 25, I might add. So we have to look at ourselves in relation to what we need to better take care of, and that is just life on Earth, you know, and how we are going to evolve as a species. And it really isn't about technology, because we can be techno-intelligent, but also life-smart. And I think what we need is better life skills. But that goes right down to people's individual daily life. So, you know, we have all these different elements. Now, when you combine that, it just is overwhelming, I think, to some people. And then they tend to zero in on one particular element and get very scared. So I think we have to keep perspective. And above all else, to know that you are interpreting, each of us is interpreting through our own, you know, our own thinking process and life experience. So if fear is the way you want to go, then that's the way you're going to go. If you want to go positive, then start seeing what you can do. You know, even this is what MCHS is about, you know, about becoming better human beings, being more conscious of the self. So again, we're back to that thing about who am I, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, you know, and the very things that MCHS stands for.
Yeah, well put. So the summation of that is, and to expand on it a little bit more, is that, look, everything goes through cycles. The weather cycles, the sun cycles. Speaking of solar flares, as people probably well know, there is a cycle, an 11-year cycle for the sun, and many of the 2012 doomsday sayers are saying, you know, well, that's when it's going to hit. And they quote NASA and they quote all this other stuff, and it's going to hit in late 2012. Well, you know, that's not necessarily true. You can't predict the sun. And in fact, I just saw an article from NASA where they're putting it a little closer to May of 2013 for the peak activity. So it can change, you know. Yes,
how
we're
convenient.
In this, yeah, well, you know, these cycles happen all the time. And there was a big solar flare. When was it? Back in the, I'm forgetting, 70s. There was a huge one back in 1859 that if it happened today, it would a massive coronal, Doug, those memory pills aren't working. Not explosion, anyway, ejection, that's what it is, a massive coronal ejection. And it would have wiped out a lot of our electrical grid. Well, you know, that can happen, but that could happen. You know, it doesn't happen very often. And the last one, the huge one, was well over 150 years ago, so it can happen any time. But we can't point to these things and say, oh, my God, it's going to happen this year, because we don't know. It's like the weather. I remember back in 2004, Hurricane Charley hit right here where I live, and then Katrina after that. And we had a terrible year for hurricanes, and then not so bad in this part of the world over the last few years. But, you know, then there's been typhoons and storms on other parts of the world. It just, things go in cycles. You know, then they talk about, as I mentioned earlier, Planet X or Nibiru, which is from Zechariah Sitchin's book, The 12th Planet. And even by his projections, that planet is not going to return until the year 2900. And if it was on its way and was going to come by, you know, Earth this year, we'd be able to see it just like a star in the sky. It's not there. So the point is, don't just listen to doomsday sayers. Research it. And I'm going to mention that website again so that you can look it up after the show tonight. It's got a lot of good information, grounded information, and it's simply 2012hoax.org. You know, it's got a lot of information on it. There's still some other things people say. One of them is pole reversal or polar shift, magnetic shift. You know, that does happen. It can cycle and fluctuate the magnetic poles. But any kind of a polar shift does not happen in a day. It can take hundreds, thousands, even millions of years for a polar magnetic shift to happen. So it's not a, you know, overnight thing. It just doesn't happen that way.
This might be a good time to just insert that if anybody has any questions, feel free to put them in the chat there. I know there's a couple of things we're going to go back over here momentarily. If you have any calls or anything you want to talk about, that's why we're here. It's an open discussion. It's your show. So please feel free to participate. And we love that anyway. I know that Catherine was mentioning here in the chat, Doug, just a couple of brief things, and I'm just hoping I can find it here. She's saying that even from other people she's encountered, there seems to be a sense in the air that some major change is about to occur, and even in a good way. Well, I would like to just say that answer that from two points of view. One is that we pick up on each other's vibe, so that's first of all. If it's in the air, we're going to feel it. But the other thing is, again, we are in a changing time, just even by virtue of people don't talk to each other anymore because they're too busy on their iPhones. So, you know, and that wasn't that way 3-4 years ago, you know, 5 years ago. That didn't happen. So it depends on the viewpoint of what we're looking at and looking for about how life has changed. So is there a sense in the air? Yes, and I'm glad that you've mentioned, Catherine, that, you know, even in a good way, because, you know, I think for the most part, a lot of people are excited about so many interesting, innovative things in life right now. But again, that other point of the fear-mongering that it's kind of scary. John just mentioned here, he says, all this stuff about the end of the world seemingly started to come out after the book of Revelations was published. Very interesting, hey? I've also been told by some of the Asatru that Ragnarok was even rewritten to keep people returning to the church.
You know,
everything has been rewritten to align to some point that's convenient for people. You know, Doug and I agree on one very simple thing. If we are going to make statements, such as predictions, it better have a really good basis.
Yeah.
And it better have some kind of instruction manual, or it means nothing.
Right. It's promoting fear. Now, will things happen this year? Will there be natural disasters? Will
sure.
people die? Of course. But that's every year. You know, every generation seems to think this is the, you know, the world's gone to hell. You know, it's getting worse and worse every day. And I disagree. I don't think the world is necessarily getting worse. I was spoon-fed on that kind of crap all while I was growing up. And, you know, when I was a kid in the 60s in elementary school, you know what we were doing? Same thing you were doing, Vicki. We were practicing getting under our desks in case of a nuclear attack. In
yep.
fact, one year when I was in elementary, they requested that we bring in an empty Clorox jug rinsed out so that we could fill it with water. And I remember we went down into the very bowels of the school in the tunnels that they had under there. And I remember that one of the teachers had an eyedropper with chlorine, and he put one drop of chlorine in the jug, every jug, put our name on it, and it was down there. Now, think about that for a minute. Think about
the
60s. Yeah, mm-hmm. think about the 60s, the civil unrest in the United States, the, you know, the whole thing, the riots, the assassinations, Kennedy, King, you know, all this stuff happening. That was during the 60s.
And you know, I think this is a point to make for some of us who are old enough to remember, having experienced this and remembering people are still alive today who survived the Holocaust. Now, if that wasn't the end of the world to some people.
Think about that. Yeah.
Sheesh. I mean, you know, that's terrible.
And think about the Bay of Pigs, you know, when many experts think that 1962, when the Cuban Missile Crisis, that was like the closest we've ever come to a nuclear war. And yet we don't think about that. Remember the doomsday clock? It's still active. I haven't checked it lately to see how close to midnight it is. But, man, it was pretty close back in those days. And the point I'm trying to make is that the world is not necessarily getting worse. I think it's getting better because we've got the Internet. We've got people of like mind coming together and wanting to make a positive difference in the world. So when we talk about, is there going to be this shift in 2012? A lot of, you know, all these doomsday prophets or 2012 writers and authors, they all have their own variations on what it means. Some take a very light view. Well, there's going to be a whole consciousness shift. Well, yes, duh. There's always a consciousness shift. Think about, Vicki, you mentioned this today in our earlier conversation, the iPad.
Yep.
If I say, what's an iPad, everybody pretty much knows. If I had said that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, what would they have said? Well, what's an iPad? But you see, we've had a, quote, consciousness shift. Now we know what that is. There's all kinds of consciousness shifts. When people talk about global warming, is that a consciousness shift? Yeah, it shifts everybody's consciousness toward a particular topic. We have those all the time. And so are we having a consciousness shift about 2012? Yes. You know, people are becoming more aware of it, more afraid of it, and they're not doing their homework.
You know, when I was I was 5 years old when I started grade school, and the first thing I learned was the Lord's Prayer. You know, God save the Queen, O Canada, and duck under the desk. So, I mean, those are the first things I learned. You know, but by the time I was in my late teens and very early 20s, I was obsessed with the term quantum physics. And I don't know why. It was not something I was exposed to. It just, I believe it came psychically somehow. But I was obsessed. I want to understand and know more about quantum physics in this lifetime. Well, back then, nobody was familiar with the term, trust me. Now, it's in our everyday conversation, the things that we know about. So, is this a consciousness shift? Look, and I ask you, is this a consciousness shift? In 30, 40 years, we are talking about things that were just like you were weird if you knew about that stuff back then. Honestly, I was accused of being weird. So, you know.
Well, you are weird.
I am weird. But here we are. We are opening pathways into realms that we couldn't have imagined before. This is exciting. So, yes, we are absolutely in a massive opening of consciousness. And what needs to come with that, you know, and very commonly, everybody, what needs to come with that is an alignment of the spiritual, of our spirituality and our sense of spirit, our emotional stability, our mental well-being, and of course, our physical survival. So we are a changing species. We are exposed to more things. We have to endure more things. There's chemicals in the air, stuff in the water, stuff in the food. So we are changing. So mm-hmm. We do have to line up all of our energies, truly. Line up our energies. Know who we are. And get about the business of living life.
In a positive way.
Absolutely. You know, this is a good place for me to reinforce. I've said it on the show before, and I'm going to say it here. I get really, really tired of hearing this talk about, and honestly, it's in religious communities, New Age communities. I get really tired of hearing this thing called unconditional love. You know, at our spirit level, at our finest moment, we know unconditional love. Down on the earth, it's called conditional. Because we have to better understand our behavior and decide how love is going to act. And I'm pretty fierce about this because, you know, I can love you, but I cannot let you hit me. That is a condition to my love. So down here on Earth, we have to get about the business of deciding how we are going to act in a loving way. What determines the act of love? You know, do no harm, do right.
There you go.
So,
and promoting fear is doing harm and is not doing right. So we have to make sure that we remain grounded on this. Do your homework, do your research, and get a balanced understanding of any doomsday prophets, including 2012. I mean, think about it. Last year, I don't know if you caught it, but the rapture was supposed to have occurred twice, and the destruction of the world,
yeah.
You know, from Harold Camping. Well, of course, that didn't happen. It never happens. Look, I may have a real, I don't even know how to put it, I may have some baggage when it comes to doomsday prophets and prophecies. I
really?
Will admit, oh yeah, I don't know if that came through or not, but the fact is that I grew up with doomsday prophecies as part of the Christian church I was with. You know, Armageddon's a coming, it's just around the corner, it's always been just around the corner, and it's so much of religion is responsible for concepts and topics that do nothing other than promote fear and try to control the masses, keep them coming back to churches. I think somebody mentioned that in chat room. And it's all about controlling people, and they do it through fear. So I don't look at this very kindly. In fact, I've been groaning all night just talking about this topic again, because it is just, there's so many things. Yes, we're all going to die if we live long enough. Could an asteroid hit the Earth? Yes, it could. Could we have a convergence of natural disasters? Yes. And as Kathy mentioned, you know, we've had an ice age, and yet we survived that. Think about the coronal mass ejection from 1859 that really took out telegraph machines. you know, would have taken out a lot more had it been, you know, nowadays. But did people survive? Yes. You know, we've always had earthquakes. We've always had bad weather. We've always had this and that and the other thing. And yet humanity survives. With this in mind, we always do the smart thing. You know, wherever you live, whatever conditions there might be in wherever you live, you know, act decisively. I mean, be smart. If you live in an earthquake-prone area, you know, you have the things you need in case of an earthquake. If you live in a hurricane-prone area like I do, you have your supplies, you know, you have your evacuation routes and all that stuff. You know what you're going to do. And so be smart about it. But the fact is that the future is not set in stone. And we simply cannot rationally, or as I should say, as rational human beings, we cannot rely on the ambiguous prophecies of such people like Nostradamus, basing everything on astrology, the position of the planets. Now, many astrologers will, you know, they will, you know, bet their reputations on the accuracy, and some of them are pretty darn accurate. But the fact remains is that we have free will. If the future could be accurately predicted every time, that might imply some degree of predestination, which is absolutely a violation of free will. There are probabilities that can come about. I can predict probabilities. I can predict that if you get yourself sloppy drunk and go out driving all night, you're probably going to get in a wreck. That's a probability. You know, is it going to happen? I don't know, but it would probably will. The same thing is true with anybody, these prophets, these doomsday prophets. You got to do your homework and use your critical thinking skills.
You know, I think a pretty good comparison might be, we do fire drills. And anybody, you know, you have kids, yeah, at school they do fire drills, at home you do a fire drill. Wherever you are, there's a sensibility. If you live in a tornado path, you know, or in the hurricane zone, you do tornado drills, you do hurricane drills. This is just sensible. This is just good, sensible thinking. But it doesn't mean you live in that fear all the time.
Right.
And so it's about keeping your wits about you and sensibility. I might add, though, that never before have we been so powerful and had such ability for power when it comes to technology. And this is where I think that people at an individual level, you know, if it's in your home, your family, your work, is to begin to speak about responsibility in sensible ways. In like what an example I want to read right now, that happens to be the earthquakes recently in Ohio are not natural events. Now, this is a very, very important lesson for us to learn. And if you happen to work in oil and gas, bring it up, tell people, share the information so that we can learn to become more responsible. I'm just going to read everybody this couple little paragraphs. 4.0 magnitude earthquake in Ohio on New Year's Eve did not occur naturally and may have been caused by high-pressure liquid injection related to oil and gas exploration and production. They suspended the operations at 5 deep well sites in Youngstown, Ohio, where the injection of water was taking place while they evacuated the seismological data from the area. Now, the wells are about 9,000 feet deep and are used to dispose of water from oil and gas wells, and this process is related to what they call fracking. And it's a very controversial injection of chemical-laced water and sand into rock to release oil and gas. Now, as it says here, critics say that the high-pressure injection of liquid causes seismic activity. So what we learn from this is that we are in a time of amazing abilities and capabilities, but we have to be sensible about it. The minute we see that something's not going to work very well, stop it.
Yeah,
Bob Newhart. I love that guy, you know. Stop it. It's in that Bob Newhart skit where, you know, the patient comes to him, he's a psychologist, and every time she says something, he said, well, stop it. And, you know, we've talked about that before, mm-hmm. Doug. And it's one of those things where they continue this process of fracking until they come up with something better. Well, that's just, in my view, that's just dumb. You know, I mean, it's dumb. It's as I've made the comparison before, it's like if I put water in a balloon versus, you know, helium in a balloon, it has two very different, you know, reactions. And this is what they're doing, you know, putting waste back into the earth. So we have to be very careful with that. But a lot of it comes down to economics. And we are in a time where we have to learn better to not be so obsessed with money. We're obsessed with it. We're obsessed. I mean, we all need
that's
it.
That's human nature.
Well, you know, we all like food, shelter, clothing, you know, the basic things, you know, that's good. But we have to consider that how much is enough. You know, the earth does only have so much in its resources that can provide for us. So, you know, we do have to get our act together. And this is where I have talked to a lot of people in the oil and gas industry for many years. I've been around it most of my life. And some very fascinating things. There's a lot of good people working in the industries. I mean, it's not entirely bad. So again, you know, there's this side and that side and those pro people and the anti people and the, you know, we have to get to the middle ground of being sensible. You know, we want to have central heating. We want to have electricity. We want running water. We want to be an evolving species. We want to live in balance with technology, but we have to be sensible about it. So the good people are in there doing their best. It's just sometimes they're competing with the dumb people. And I say even, you know, there's some really smart scientists who aren't very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, all these things start compounding in our minds. We watch the news. You know, I glean over to make myself what I call world smart. I like to keep, like, just tuned in to what's going on. And usually it's just to confirm my own predictions about what's going to happen. And usually I'm right, and I say, okay, and carry on. But stop exposing ourselves to negative thinking. There's no good on the news. And I tell you what, everybody, it might come as a big shock to know this, but the news is skewed.
Oh, yeah. It's dramatic. It's crisis-oriented. And you talked about being sensible, so let's talk more about that. How can we be sensible? Well, we've already talked about some ways, but let's kind of sum it up. How can we be sensible about 2012? Well, do your homework. Get the facts. You know, don't just listen to fear mongers. Ask, you know, is it true? Use critical thinking skills. 2012 is like any other year. We don't know what this year will hold for us until we get to the end of it. You know, there will be different things that happen. You know, you're probably more likely to get killed in a traffic accident than you are anything else, because a lot of people die that way. So be safe, but, you know, be positive and ask, you know, where's my life going? How am I doing on fulfilling my purpose and my mission in life? How am I doing right and doing no harm? How am I contributing to the woodpile to leave it higher than I found it? You know, send out that positive energy, because 2012 is like any other year. It live every day like it's your last. All those good things. We can be sensible about this and not buy in to these fears, because they're no different than the plethora of religious prophecies, doomsday prophecies that have been voiced over the millennia. You know, choose what you think, manage your thoughts, use critical thinking skills, and ask for some compelling basis for anything. I mean, I can make a pretty compelling basis that we're going to have a hurricane later this year. Well, duh. You know, there's usually several every year. Many of them don't hit land. Many of them don't really do much damage, but some will. So I can predict that. But am I going to live every day in fear? That is no way to live. And you just have to say no to fear. There's a lot of things we can be afraid of. Oh, my God. What if I'm home watching TV and a home invasion occurs and they hurt us or kill us? You know, what if I get robbed? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? We can't live with what ifs.
You know,
we have to be positive and make the best life we can.
I agree. And really on that note, and I'm going to speak from the position of being clairvoyant, being, you know, I've had premonitions, predictions my entire life, since as early as I can remember. I had a very early rule for myself, which is I don't publicly make predictions, because I also know that anything can change, which, number one, I'm going to look like I have egg on my face. You know, people only remember you when you're a complete failure, or they remember you for the one out of the 20 that you got right. So it's very tricky business when you start messing with people's minds, which I very early decided that my center focus wanted to be on the individual empowerment for creating one's life. When I sit down with somebody, I intuitively know what's coming. It's like a movie or little snips of a, you know, Kodak flashes. And I say, oh, because this is the energy stream they're on. Point is, when you get a heads up for what's coming, you now have the power to be the manager of what's coming. And I very often said, if you're going to cross a road, you step out in the curb, there's any number of possibilities, because there could be a Big Mac truck coming. You know, you could just stay there, get splashed by water. You can get back up on the curb, still get splashed by water. You could, you know, run across the street and hope that you miss the truck or it misses you. You know, or you can just wait till the crosswalk. You know, I mean,
yeah.
This is about becoming more intuitive about gauging to direct your own life. So I do take issue with people who make public predictions. And I try not to judge this. It's just that I worry about the responses such as fear that starts to occur, and which is occurring now.
Mm-hmm.
So for people, understand that I am truly a believer that we are the creators of our own life. We create this reality. It's through our own perceptions that we have a reality. Most things are an illusion if we stop to see what's real. So, you know, there are only so many facts. The rest is all an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about empowerment, individual and collective empowerment. And I'm all for collective empowerment. I want to, if we could just all say 2012, yay, that's great. Holy, what a different kind of an energy wave we're going to take then.
Yeah.
So let's get on the wave and go for it. What an opportunity.
And that leads right into more of what we can do. You know, for example, you know, I could probably tell you, I'm not afraid of an asteroid hitting the Earth this year. I'm not afraid of a polar shift. I'm not afraid of, you know, a mass coronal ejection from the sun. I'm not afraid of any of these different things. The thing I'm most afraid of is, with all the 2012 hype out there, that this will become some kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, from less than honorable people that want to bring about this stuff. And there are some of those out there. Or we talk about the collective consciousness, the global consciousness that you were just mentioning, in essence, that if we think positively and we have a positive consciousness that we can inject out there or to send out to the universe, you know, that can mean something. And so we do that. We teach our young children the proper way to view this. We shield them from things that could harm them, including this kind of crap. And we think positively and go about our business. Live your life. Really live, and do not live in fear, because that's just self-defeating. Have a can-do attitude, or a how-hard-can-it-be attitude. Let's get to some positive things done this week or this year. Let's be a force for positive energy around all those who come into our sphere of influence.
Absolutely. And this is a really good time to remind everybody to take a moment every day and just a little meditation. You want to call it a prayer, that's fine. You want to call it a meditation, that's fine. But fill yourself with white light. Put an aura around yourself of white light. And then beam that over the planet and the universe. you would be amazed at just how much that can change your thinking. Just that. And to know that you're sharing that positive energy with other people. These are things that we can do to change that consciousness on the earth. But we're also changing our own consciousness. You change your own consciousness, you're changing the world. It works both ways. So you want to talk about the mirrored image of the universe. You want to talk about, you know, magnetic forces and, you know, good sending out good universal energy. Well, this is what it's about. And this is what we can prove to ourselves right now, right here, in the power of thought.
And it is a powerful thing. You know, we've talked about this on previous shows, and it's well known. We create our reality to one degree or another. We create that reality. And so we want to create a positive reality in 2012 for us, for ourselves, for our families, for those around us. And so it's the whole thing, having a proper outlook. You know, get the facts. If you happen to think if one of these doomsday prophets seem to make sense, go check out their data. Where's it coming from? What are the disbelievers saying? In other words, what's the counter argument to it? Really review it all and then make up your mind, bearing in mind that living in fear is not living. It is it's a terrible existence.
And of course, you could save your pennies and go buy one of those underground condos.
Oh gosh! You know,
hey, you know, we never did talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all those people spending millions and billions of dollars, you know, with the underground bunkers.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but
you know,
yeah,
all 1960s and 50s.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. By the way, there is a shelf life on cans of food, just so people know that. You know, this is a good time to talk about what we're going to do this year, particularly this month. We have a couple of really great shows lined up. I think they're great. I mean, you think they're great. But, you know, I've seen a lot of discussion in and around about you know, channeling and people taking over bodies and possessions and that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about that next week. It's going to be, I think, a very interesting show. So we're going to come to the table with, you know, some different points of view. And the following week, Doug, you have a special guest coming.
Yes, the following week we're going to be talking about chasing and catching your dreams. We're going to have David Blender on as our guest. He's going to discuss that with us, talk about some of his experiences with changing directions in his life. David is a great guy and a very experienced, not only counselor and coach, but hypnotist as well, and has a hypnosis practice in the greater Chicago area. So he'll be joining us. He's a doctoral candidate. And I'm looking forward to having him on the show.
Will the phone lines be open that night, Doug?
Oh, of course. As always, the big question is, will they ring? You know,
you know, we're doing our best here, folks. You know, we sure do. We love the chat going on, but, you know, your friends and call your people and your coworkers and stuff. And if you're enjoying the show, you know, we'd love to have more people joining in. We're happy to be here for you, but we would, you know, really like to spread some other more interesting stuff and sensible thinking, too. So
spread the love.
Spread the love and the white lights. Happy 2012. Happy New Year, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah, and Happy New Year to you and everybody. And it will be a happy year if we make it a happy year. So we're happy you joined us tonight, either on the live program or on the archive. Think about what we've said. That website to look at again is 2012folks.org. It will give you the other side of the whole thing. So use your critical thinking skills, think positively, send out positive energy. And speaking of that, let's take a second and send out positive thoughts and energy to the world, to those who need it, to yourself. Just send them a blast. Because it all helps. Even if it may just be a little bit, we all do it. It really helps. All right, so next week, channeling a possession. I try to get possessed at least once a week, and I will try to be possessed when we do our show next week. And then you can channel me, okay?
Okay, we'll all do right. that. So Thanks very much, Doug. Thanks, everybody, to all our listeners. Good night.
Have a great week, folks. Good night.